In America, we have a tendency to make things over important. And the reason I state this is because here on April 8th, around 3 o'clock, depending when you're listening to this, there is an eclipse that you might have heard about unless you're living under a rock. Now, the reason why I feel that this is blown way out of proportion is there is a solar eclipse almost every 18 months. The next one will be happening on August 12th, 2026. But this one is going right over America, going over Mexico, America from basically Texas on out to Maine. Now, why is it that everybody's talking about the information collapse? Why is everybody making this like a Y2K event when a solar eclipse happens every 18 months? Well, sit back. Grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Let's get emboldened.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, Bold Americans, to yet another week of episodes here on America Emboldened. As always, I'm your host, Greg Bolden. Let's get straight into it. There's a lot going on in the world, but I'm going to focus first on why is it that because this eclipse is going over North America and Central America, that we've assigned it this existential purpose, that all of a sudden this is supposed to be this life-changing energy, this spiritual experience that everybody is going to witness, and states of emergency being put out there by about 7 different states at this point in time because they're worried about the commerce and travel, telling people to load up on their gasoline and make sure you got clean water and cell phones. Could cell phones possibly not work during this? People are worried leading up to Monday. They were talking about the path of totality. Travelers will be relying on that infrastructure, and there may be some infrastructure holes because as they go to towns that normally don't get an influx of people into it, that they're going to crowd up the cell phone towers. No, this is not cellular networks going down because of the eclipse. No, this is not telling you to stock up on gasoline and water because they're expecting an electric grid to go down. That's what the fear networks are trying to put out there. But when we look at what is the truth is this. More people are going to be picking up their phones. They're going to be recording, capturing, and sharing this information on today, the April 8th, watching either a partial eclipse or a full totality of an eclipse. And AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, they're all going to expect a larger usage over 2 hours. That could cause a major outage upon certain networks. If you go back to 9/11, after 9/11, the Twin Towers get hit. Everybody was trying to reach their loved ones. You could not make a phone call to save your life anywhere on the East Coast. You were trying to make a phone call. It was very difficult to get through because of the level of traffic. Well, this is going to be a bandwidth problem as well today on April 8th. And so I believe that our networks will likely handle everything perfectly fine. Why? Because now they got new towers up. They got the 5G network up and we've come a long way. But in some of these small towns along the path of totality, even all the way up in Rochester, New York, where they could have 500,000 or a million people coming to town in order to watch, yes, that could load that system and strain it and make it very difficult. They were saying on the news that places like Little Rock, Arkansas, they believe they can handle it perfectly fine because they already have the infrastructure in place. So depending where you are. Now, what about this water and gas? Why are people so concerned? Well, people got to buy gas when they go places in order to get back. Not everybody is like me running off my solar power and electric. So when you get your gasoline, there can be a gas station that runs out of gas because the demand and the supply is going to be out of rhythm for those areas. This is the reason for the state of emergencies. Meanwhile, plenty of people are trying to sell you things that are just not based in the reality of why the government is responding the way that they're responding. Last week, I told you about CERN Labs. I told you about NASA. Those are valid experiments and valid concerns about our magnetic field. In fact, while I was telling you about that, some people might have put the connection together of what I was trying to make aware that our solar forcing, our solar winds. If you go on my Patreon page, I did an absolute unveiling of this complete with sources. You got to go patreon.com/America Emboldened. Go subscribe there and you can hear 18 minutes of me going through the literature about solar forcing, solar winds, talking about increase of earthquakes. And you would understand then why we are seeing an uptick along the Ring of Fire. You'd see why I'm concerned about what's happening in New Jersey, just outside of New York. Now, if you don't know, there's two things that I'm very nerdy about in my life that have nothing to do with this podcast and politics and analytics. They are weather and earthquakes. I've been fascinated by weather and earthquakes ever since I was a little child. When there was a thunderstorm, I would love to watch the clouds coming in, seeing where the wall clouds were, naming what type of clouds were overhead on any given day. When lightning and thunder came in, I would sit out the window and watch the storms. And I remember doing this from the time I was like 5-6 years old, and I still do it as an adult. I get super excited when there's severe weather coming in, not because I want to see anybody have a loss of personal property or life. It's because I love to observe nature in its natural form and think about it. Now, when I heard the earthquake went off, magnitude 4.8 in New Jersey on April 5th, immediately my in-laws, some people texted, some friends, they said, "Did you guys just feel that?" In Middletown, Delaware, I felt nothing. However, just 5 miles from my home, yes, people felt the earthquake as far west as Newark, Delaware. In fact, on the news, they reported even further west than that throughout Philadelphia. My in-laws in New Jersey, where they live, all felt it actually rumble pretty well. Chris Michaels, my co-host on Fridays, texted me in Long Island. It was felt violently shaking the buildings. And so normally, when there's an East Coast earthquake, now there's a fault along this, the Ramapo fault. But when there's earthquakes along these small subduction areas of the Appalachian Mountains, there's not aftershocks, except for maybe you'd get like one or two aftershocks, but there's not like a big aftershock problem in this side of the East Coast because we don't have these huge fault lines like they have out west, where it will continue to shake and rumble with destabilizing pressures. So why is it then we have a large number of aftershocks going on right now? Well, you'd have to be a little bit of a nerd like me and know how to drill down for the data that's out there. First, you got to look at April 5th and this 4.8 that hit White House Station, New Jersey, and be able to drill down the information to find out what happened afterwards. Now, many people reported later in that evening that there was another earthquake in Gladstone, New Jersey, which was at a 3.8. And you can find all of this on USGS, what I'm going to be documenting for you here, but you haven't heard about it on the news. And in between all of these, here's some of the readings of seismology you have not heard about. After the 4.8, about 7 minutes later, there was a 2.6. About 45 minutes later, there was a 1.9. 18 minutes later, a 2.0. 7 minutes later, a 1.9. And then about every 7 to 20 minutes, 1.9, 1.8, 2.0, 1.8, 1.8, 2.0, 2.0, 1.9, 2.2, 1.8, 1.7, 2.0, 1.9, followed by 8.5 kilometer deep, which was the deepest, 3.8, which was in Gladstone, New Jersey, which was about 10 miles from the original epicenter. And then we get a bunch of 5 kilometer deep earthquakes, aftershocks, clusters, 1.9s, 1.5s, 1.8s, 1.5, 1.7, 1.7, 1.9, a 2.5, a 1.9. And this continued on until the recording of right now, there was just a 2.2 as I'm recording, measured by seismologists. Now, there should not be aftershocks in this region the way that we're seeing them. It should be the pressure was released, and then that's the end of the story. Instead, what this looks like is actually four shocks. This looks like a four-shock cluster at this point in time, which is why I'm a little bit more worried about what's happening in the world and what's happening along our East Coast, and perhaps what's going to be happening here pretty soon as we are nearing solar maximum. Again, like I said, I talked about this on my show on Patreon. You got to go directly to that in order to subscribe to hear that. I'm not going to rehash it all right now, but if you know anything about solar forcing and solar winds, that might be the only reason you would be concerned about the eclipse that's about to happen or has just happened, because over the next several weeks, it could destabilize our tectonic plates with gravitational forcing and pull by blocking some of that magnetic field and having that extra attraction and reattraction, and could lead us to more seismic activity, is what I'm actually seeing, this whole foreshock type of thing that's happening. Now, normally, seismologists, this is coming from the Seismology Society of America. Seismologists normally agree that foreshocks are the most widely identified signal of an upcoming main shock earthquake. And normally, these foreshocks have a sequence, a distinctive characteristic that separates them from aftershocks. And so, in a paper called Seismological Research Letters by Nadav Retzler, they believed colleagues could identify some global trends in foreshock sequences for earthquakes of magnitude 7 or larger. And they said, foreshocks are one of the few, perhaps the only observable phenomenon precursory to upcoming dominant earthquakes. Now, what's happening in New Jersey right now looks an awful lot like what they see along the Ring of Fire and tectonic plates when you have a larger earthquake that will be predicted. Sometimes these can be miles away. And in a landmass like the United States, where we know that the reason we have the topography that we have the Rocky Mountains and the Appalachian Mountains, is because of fault zones and the pressure that pushed the Earth up and forced other parts of the Earth down. Now, I've talked to a friend a while back that lived out west and told him, I said, you know, one of the places I probably would not want to live at this point in time is on the West Coast in Oregon and Washington State. Because of the Cascadian line, I'm very concerned that eventually it's going to fall off. And that's not a sci-fi movie. That's reality. But when I look at this map and what's going on in this specific region, there's two things that strike me about the Ramapo fault line. And that is the fact that there is a volcano just in this region that has blown its top off years ago. The Beamerville volcano, which is located right near the state park where all of the shaking is happening. And I have to wonder, what's going on underground that's causing this on the east side of the Appalachian, right? Are we going to see more shaking going out towards Long Island, back towards Redding and Allentown? Are we going to see it coming down towards the Appalachian Mountains? And is this because of some type of forcing on the Mid-Atlantic Ridge? The reason I bring that up is if you go to Earthquake 3D, you can actually see the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which is one of the largest fault lines on the East Coast, has probably the largest mountain ranges on the entire planet. They're just buried underneath water. If you go over and look at the Earthquake 3D, you'll see that there's been a series of larger earthquakes happening on that Mid-Atlantic plate from the equator all the way to about the same latitude line as New Jersey. And so, are we seeing a shift? Could we see the New Madrid crack finally near the Mississippi River? In case you don't know this, this is one of the most dangerous fault lines on the entire continental United States. When I say it's dangerous, I mean you could see total destruction of some states along the central part of the United States, as well as mountains starting to rise once again, Appalachians all the way through to affecting into the plains of the western part of our country. That is how powerful that area is. It would be felt almost as far east as the state of Delaware. Delaware would be like the first, according to seismologists, safe place. So I think it bears to pay attention what's happening in Taiwan. It bears to pay attention what's happening in Japan with these, following the entire New Zealand area throughout the Philippines. The rain of fire is absolutely hot right now. Even an earthquake that went pretty unreported off the coast of Washington State, which is the reason why I brought up the other seismology line. So here we are, solar eclipse, people looking up, they're watching it. You know, there's some people that believed that an eclipse is actually not good for you to look at and not from your eyes. There's people that believe that looking at an eclipse could actually harm you energetically. The indigenous people were very adamant about that. There's the Mayans as well. They believed that if a child was born during an eclipse, that they would have superpowers and they could be gifted. In the customs of the indigenous here in the continental United States, they would often close all the parks and areas for accommodations for their beliefs here in the United States, because they will go in the full prayer and reverence, and they have to be focused on the concept of the sun or moon going through an ending and a rebirth. And so they're praying about the ending of bad and evil and the ending of a phase of life for rebirth. And so during an eclipse, the indigenous people are believing that there is a death that is occurring, and it's a very sacred occurrence that's happening. And so whatever your beliefs may be, it is a rare astronomical event to get to witness, even though it's every 18 months. And probably the largest thing that we should be looking for at this point in time is our tectonic plates and what type of gravitational pulls based upon seismology we should be concerned about in the coming weeks. There's a lot going on astrologically right now in gravitational pull, solar winds with the X-class flares that are firing off, some hitting the United States and the Earth, some not. So that's worth paying attention to. But at the end of the day, you know, this concept that this is the most important thing on Earth, no, it's not. The most important thing on Earth is what you have around you. It's your family, it's your friends, it's your loved ones. And so, if you celebrated today looking up with them, then you're celebrating a nice moment of humanity to bring us closer. If you celebrated today in fear, I ask you to get out of the fear cycle. I ask you to get out of the part of the media that scares the crap out of you. Sure, there's things you can be concerned about in politics, things you can be concerned about with Mother Earth. But Mother Earth is going to do what Mother Earth's going to do, and humans are going to do what humans are going to do. You can only control what you are doing. Perhaps the best thing that come out of the whole eclipse madness of the last few weeks is it caused people to collectively look up at the heavens and bear witness to something that is much larger than you and I. That the spectacle of the moon crossing in front of the sun's path is something that can draw in awe and wonder about nature. And it can unite neighbors that are not always united on all fronts. And perhaps that's very important here in 2024, at a time where we are divided as a country on which political candidate to support in the upcoming election, of which we have artificial intelligence that is perhaps going into dangerous places, replacing people's livelihood in the coming years, and important conversations to have about whether or not that should be allowed in our lives and what boundaries we may need. Important conversations to have about whether or not we can agree upon science in this country. Yes, science. Is it settled or is it never settled? While we're looking at this eclipse, COVID melts away. The election goes into the background. And perhaps the indigenous people are correct. It puts to death, once and for all, that what divides us and allows us, hopefully, to break through our fears and concentrate on what can we be doing to build a better society together. A society that does not rely on the war machine. A society that doesn't need to argue incessantly over who is a more moral human being. A society that can agree upon whatever it may mean to be male or female. A society that can finally end the age-old debate. Is cheerleading a sport? Well, at least some good things are starting to happen. There's questions of whether or not the war in Israel may be winding down. Now, this is just a few days after Iran said they were going to retaliate. And you heard me say that our CIA felt that it was going to be within the next 48 hours. Well, that 48 hours has come and gone, which I think Iran will still retaliate at some point in time. But the IDF announced yesterday, on Sunday, that it has now concluded the invasion stage of the war in southern Gaza. Now, as they're making this declaration, it's not lost on me whatsoever that the relationship of the United States and Joe Biden is no longer, I believe, as once unified as it used to be. There's a ton of frustrations now over the conversations of Netanyahu and Biden and the medical care and support of military and not just military, of food and civilian aid that was supposed to go into Gaza. And so when seven of those aid workers that are trying to get the food to civilians that are hungry as part of a nonprofit, and then you target airstrikes, I'm hearing that the National Security Council, John Kirby, told reporters last week that absent changes in the protection of civilians on the ground, absent changes to the volume of humanitarian assistance getting in, absent any movement on a ceasefire that will allow hostages to get in and out, absent a calming down, they will have to reconsider his own policy choices with respect to Gaza. If there's no changes to the Israeli policy and their approaches, then there's going to have to be changes to ours. That is a strong reversal from we will do whatever Israel needs for our support. That is a shift at this point in time for Joe Biden. Is it too little, too late? Well, maybe. For some, they're going to say, well, this is just an election ploy. Or others might say, well, nope, they're finally realizing that, hey, this is actually damaging the region. That there's a reason why there are individuals that are protesting outside the White House about the way that we're funding this. You know, are we going to ignore the humanitarian situation in Gaza while continuing to give billions of dollars and bombs to Israel? You can't do both. You cannot be giving weapons of destruction to the person that you're also trying to give aid to that's going to be affected by those weapons of destruction. Continuing to do that is one of the stupidest things that our country could engage in. And so the time now is for, I believe, the Biden administration to suspend all military aid to Israel immediately. Use the IDF and their withdrawal on Sunday as your talking point to say, you know what? You have decided that you're going to wind down your active, and as a result, we're no longer going to provide any weapons to you. We're not providing any more military aid and assistance. Everything will be humanitarian aid now in northern Gaza, southern Gaza, and that is the path forward. Failure to do that by this administration is going to endanger American lives for decades to come. All you got to do is read the 9/11 commissioner report, talk to the politicians, listen to people like Ron Paul that talked about blowback, the CIA's own paper on blowback, on why we were attacked 20-some years ago, and you'll understand that this is going to be a moment in the United States where if we continue down this path, the next time there is a terrorist attack here on our soil, you will look back and say, oh yeah, this is definitely connected with the aid that we've been providing in places that destabilize the region and cause the death of many. You don't get to say, I'm giving you aid and I'm killing you too. That's just not right. I think you guys can see through that. My bold Americans, you understand that that's hypocrisy at its finest. And so there's many people now on the Democrat side that are calling for an end, just as I'm calling for weapons. When I start agreeing with Nancy Pelosi, then we know we got issues. That means maybe this eclipse is bringing us together because she's correct. It's time to stop the weapons. It's time to make sure the people get assistance. And the time is not just now. The time was 6 months ago. The time was a few days after October and this whole thing started. But nope, that's not what the United States did. And so this is a little too late. History rewriting itself by both Democrats and Republicans. Those that were supporting war. And you know what? It's time to have this conversation in the Ukraine as well. It's important that we start asking ourselves, at what point are we just securing our own borders, securing our own self-interest, and stop bowing down to our NATO alliances and funding a war by proxy for others? I think it's very important to start having that conversation too. And I think you know it as well. It's not just me. So maybe in this eclipse and putting to death things, it's time to re-envision what has been happening for the last 2 years in this world. And what do you want for a change? Now, on last Friday's show, Chris Michaels and I talked about RFK Jr. going on the offensive after Joe Biden, stating that he was a bigger threat to democracy than Donald Trump. Well, Jennifer Lewis disagrees. If you've ever seen the television show Black-ish, which basically was a ripoff of Modern Family, she claims that Donald Trump's going to put black people in camps and that he is Hitler, except she did not say it quite as elegantly, just said that he's Hitler. And when he gets reelected, he's going to have plans for all of the people that didn't vote for him. And she said she knows this because she knows mental illness. I'm not arguing with her. Listening to her, it sounds like she knows mental illness very, very well, if you get what I'm saying. Look, this rhetoric that's going on right now in this country, that Donald Trump is Hitler, and that he's going to walk in first day, and he's going to break the glass and shred the Constitution, what the hell do you think all the other presidents have been doing? This isn't just Donald Trump that's been taking a crap on the Constitution. This is a decades-long issue, Republican and Democrats, of executive orders and people that have decided that the Constitution is just a damn piece of paper. Now, I'm not trying to put the Constitution as a document that is supposed to be biblical in nature. It is certainly with its flaws. It is not a document that is not worthy of its own critiques. That stated, it is the law of the land. And the one thing that all the presidents have been doing is executive order after executive order to get around the balance of checks and balances of the powers and the way that they're assigned. That's not just something that started with Donald Trump. It continues with Joe Biden. It was executed long before by Obama and Bush and Clinton and Bush Sr. and Reagan and Nixon and Carter. I feel like I'm doing The Night Before Christmas, the executive order edition. Now on Carter and Nixon and Bush and Clinton. Dance away, dance away, dance away the Constitution all. Look, this woman, all right, who apparently has like a nickname as like the, the godmother of black Hollywood actresses or something. I don't know. She wrote some book. I'm not giving her any more time than is necessary. Outside of what scares me about Lewis making these comments and stoking the fears of racism, of the same old, the things that you can't defend against when someone makes these type of claims against you. She represents the worst of the worst of lack of intellectual thought in this country. She represents the idiots and the morons that I was talking about before. Because if you truly believe that Donald Trump can come into office and he can be Hitler himself reincarnated, then you do not understand the checks and balances of our government and what is in place should somebody try to do so. I don't think it's going to happen. And quite honestly, I'm not so sure Donald Trump's going to be the next president. I'm starting to think we're going to a contested brokered election in the future with RFK Jr. taking enough votes to really break this thing down. I'm not sure that's good either. But then again, I don't know that we have good options. So as we come to the end of this episode today, after this eclipse, I think that what I know is it's time to put down our fears, this fear-based language, and find the rebirth. How can we gaze at our country like we gazed at the eclipse? How can we gaze at the issues that are important to each one of us the way that our eyes were transfixed above to the heavens? How can we understand our insignificance in that moment and also give a little bit of our own ego in the conversations that we want to have regarding what is the best picture-perfect way forward for our country? All things for us for renewal in order to reflect upon as we move forward. Hope I honored your time well. Be back on Wednesday with more thoughts and stories going on in our country. As always, make sure you go over to patreon.com/AmericanEmboldened. Subscribe for the premium content, extra shows, get shows first. It's a great place, as well as you can subscribe over at Real Greg Bolden. Hit the follow button, YouTube, Rumble, all of those, America Emboldened. Go give that a follow, like, subscribe, whatever the cool kids are calling it. I'll see you all soon. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Be bold, America.